move to question time and Senator Hume.
Here, here.
Thank you, Madam President. My question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Last April, the Prime Minister said, I'll say this very clearly, Australians will be better off under a Labor government. But yesterday, the ABS released data showing that inflation remains far too high, with core inflation at 5.3% year on year. In the last year, the price of fuel has gone up 8.6%. Food and drink are up 5.3%. Electricity is up 10.1%. Gas has gone up by 13%. And OECD data shows that living standards have fallen more in Australia than in any other comparable country. Minister, will you now admit that Australians are suffering a cost of living crisis under this Albanese government?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. I thank Senator Hume for a question on the economy, and I would say to her and to the chamber that this government understands very deeply, and so does the Prime Minister, that Australians are doing it tough, and that cost of living is the first issue that is raised with all of us. By so many Australians and their families, and that is why we are working so hard, both in terms of returning a budget surplus, but also also the measures that we have put in place to deal with inflation and to do what we can to put downward pressure on inflation. And it was pleasing to see the monthly CPI indicator showing inflation moderating to 4.9%, down from 5.6% in September. Now, obviously, that's still too high, but it is welcome news, and certainly monthly inflation is lower than what it was at the election last year, lower than what it was at the election last year, which was about just over 6%, I think, under those opposites. So that figure is a significant moderation from last month's inflation numbers, much lower than the median market expectation. Yes, I take the interjection. It is 1 month. It is, and we have a long way to go. But this is a government that has put in place, for example, an energy plan which ensured that instead of energy prices having rising some nearly 18.8%, nearly 19%, as it would have done, because of the measures that we put in place, rose by 8.4%. And I would remind those opposite, when they come in here worrying about—
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Hume.
Order, Madam President, and I have allowed the minister to go on now for a minute and 30 seconds. The question, though, was, are Australians suffering under a cost of living crisis under this government?
Thank you, Senator Hume. And there were a significant preamble to that question, the minister's being directly relevant. Minister Wong, please continue.
I dealt with it first up, and I think, as the senator knows, because she does understand this, that inflation is directly relevant to the question she asked, and so to energy prices. So to her energy prices. And I would remind her that she and her colleagues voted against the energy price release. So you are the party of higher energy prices, and you are the party, therefore, of higher inflation.
Thank you, Minister Wong. The time inflation for answering has expired. Senator Hume, first supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Despite the Prime Minister's protestations to the opposite, the RBA Governor has said last week that sticky inflation in Australia is, in fact, homegrown. Mm-hmm. Why is it that a Labor government always seems to cost you more?
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Wong.
Well, it is the case that the drivers of inflation are multifaceted. It is the case that drivers of inflation are multifaceted, and we don't walk away from that, which is why we have put in place those measures which are contributing and have contributed to downward pressure on inflation. And we see that, particularly in the context of energy prices and also in the context of our fiscal policy. Well, you are smart enough, Senator Hume, to understand. Well, you are. You are smart enough to understand what would have been. And maybe you might want to explain to your colleagues what would have been and what the prices would have been if the government had not put in place the energy plan, and inflation would be higher. And I would also make the point, that we have delivered a surplus, a $22.1 billion surplus.
Thank you, Minister.
I know that pains you.
Order. Thank you, Senator Patterson. When I call order, I expect there to be order, and I would ask senators to stop clapping. It adds to the disruption in this place. Senator Hume, second supplementary.
Thank you, Madam President. Minister, the Salvation Army has said that Australians will be going into debt to pay for Christmas, with 31% seeking to use a credit card to pay for Christmas expenses, up from 18% last year. 23% will struggle to afford enough food to eat this Christmas, 34% will find paying utilities challenging, and 30% will struggle to pay their rent or mortgage repayments. Minister, is it correct to say that life isn't easy under Prime Minister Albanese? Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Hume. Minister Wong.
Well, I would refer the senator to the targeted relief for those on income support payments, which were such an important part of our previous budgets and which form part of the $23 billion of measures we have put in place. But yes, we understand people are doing it tough. They are. If I may point out, there are what are the things governments can do about inflation? They can run a fiscal policy that delivers a surplus. Now, you might want to belittle that, which is what you did when I mentioned it before, but that is one of the things governments can do. You can run a surplus, which is what we did at the last budget.
Senator
the
Hume.
Other thing, well, I'll take that interjection. Senator Hume seems to want to focus on public servants. We're going to have a sacking public servant approach to inflation from the coalition. That's their great plan. We're going to sack a few more public servants. I mean, really. We're going to vote for higher energy prices. That's what we're going to do. That's their inflation plan, everyone. Higher electricity
Minister Wong,
prices and sack
Minister
a few
Wong,
workers.
Minister Wong, Senator McGrath. The chanting and the constant disruption is disorderly. I ask you to cease. Just a moment, Senator Green. I draw to the attention of honourable senators the presence in the gallery of a parliamentary delegation from the Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal, led by the chairperson of the National Assembly, the Right Honourable Ganesh Prasad Timalsina. On behalf of all senators, I wish you a warm welcome to Australia and in particular to the Senate. Senator Green.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Treasurer, Senator Gallagher. Minister, Westpac in its October CPI indicator report said government policies are holding down inflation. Can the Minister tell us how the government's comprehensive cost of living package is delivering tangible benefits for Australians while also tackling inflation? How is the government's rent assistance package and electricity bill price relief making life easier for Australians while also not adding to inflation?
Minister Gallagher.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. I thank Senator Green for it. We are working hard, and I support the remarks made by our leader into the question earlier, to support Australians with cost of living relief which without adding to the inflation challenge. And the latest ABS data has shown some good moderation month to month from 5.6 to 4.9%. Westpac, in its CPI indicator report released today, said, and I quote, "Government policies are holding down inflation." While the Deloitte Access Economics Budget Monitor, November 2023, on the fiscal responsibility of the Albanese Labor government said, and I quote, "The government took the option to bank most of the additional cash at the time of the 23-24 budget in May, which was good for the country's fiscal position and didn't add significantly to inflation. Government policy, including rent assistance and the energy price relief plan, have taken some of the pressure off, but we acknowledge that households are doing it tough while inflation remains higher than we would like for longer than we would like. The OECD Economic Outlook for November has stated the Commonwealth Government's energy price relief plan, which set a cap on wholesale coal and gas prices, they didn't insert there that you'd voted against it, but I'll add that in, and provided targeted energy bill relief, is expected to reduce headline inflation by 0.75% by the second quarter of 2024. With all of these results coming in, you can see that the decisions that we've taken are helping to alleviate cost of living pressures on households while also not making the inflation challenge harder. Our policies, including cheaper childcare, reducing medicine costs, boosting wages, ensuring good minimum wage increases and fair pay for aged care workers, creating more than 600,000 jobs.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Green, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, the government is delivering significant investment in cost of living relief, including the $23 billion package delivered by the government. With government policies holding down inflation, can the minister also provide further details on how specific initiatives like cheaper medicines are easing the financial pressures on families while also delivering lasting social reform?
Thank you, Senator Green. Minister Gallagher.
Thank you very much, and I thank Senator Green for the question. And she is right to draw attention to the cost of living package that has a number of elements, including the energy bill relief, the medicines, cheaper childcare, our housing policies, increasing rent assistance, fee-free TAFE, which has been incredibly positive and well taken up, getting wages moving again, something that those opposite hate. We've seen that the jobs that we're creating, more jobs created under this government in the first 18 months than under any previous first-term government. And I know you probably don't like that either. We've got participation rates at record high, the gender pay gap coming down, business investment up, industrial disputes down. We've got a surplus. We've got a surplus. We didn't just print the mugs. We actually delivered the surplus. We've banked the revenue so our budget's in better shape so that we can find room for cost of living relief where it's
Thank you, Minister. Senator Green, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, the OECD has recognised that the Albanese government's budget settings and cost of living measures are helping to fight against inflation. How does the Albanese government's economic agenda align with key OECD recommendations for advanced economies, including investing in people and their skills, broadening and deepening Australia's industrial base, and embracing the opportunities of the net zero transformation and digitalisation?
Thank you, Senator Green. Minister Gallagher.
Senator Green. Thank you, President. Well done, Senator Green. Very well delivered. And again, Senator Green is right to draw our attention to not only the cost of living relief and the fact that we are managing the budget responsibly and our fiscal restraint and our spending restraint is assisting with the inflation challenge. But at the same time we're doing that, we're managing the budget better, we're investing in cost of living relief, we're also investing in the productive side of our economy, doing the long-term investments that will drive economic growth across our economy in skills, in the clean energy transition, in our housing policies. All of these areas so important to the future of this country, areas that weren't addressed under the former government where we saw a decade of delay, and perhaps the energy transition is the most stark example of that. But the housing shortage is also a stark reminder of what happens when those opposite in government do nothing and fail the national interests of this country.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Dunnan.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister representing the Environment, Minister Senator Wong. And I refer the Minister to the announcement by Minister Plibersek to consult over Christmas, no less, on whether to allow salmon farming on Macquarie Harbour on Tasmania's west coast to continue. Given the Minister has already indicated in her letter to the Tasmanian Premier of the 6th of November that the Labor government would likely require the industry to pause, in other words, shut down, will the Minister guarantee that not a single one of the 400 West Coast salmon industry jobs will be lost because of this Minister's and this government's decision?
Thank you, Senator Dunne. And Minister Wong.
Order. Thank you.
Senator Wish me. Wilson.
Thank you.
Senators, your interjections are disorderly. I've called the minister. Answer the question. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. And I thank the senator for the question. And certainly all Tasmanians I know in this chamber have an interest in this. Some have different views. But certainly those on our side understand the importance of the industry to the Tasmanian economy. And I'll take the interjection from the Shadow Attorney General saying, you know, making yet again baseless accusations, baseless assertions, baseless assertions. Well, we got a bit of auditioning going on here, I reckon. A bit of auditioning. But baseless accusations, and I will refer to, and I'm grateful for the indication that the announcement had been made. I appreciate the senator drawing that to my attention. I see here that Senator that Ms. Plibersek has made an announcement in relation to consultation on salmon farming in Macquarie Harbour. The second page of that statement says salmon farming in Macquarie Harbour does not have to pause while this occurs. So I assume that the senator may not have read that statement at the time he asked me that question. But what I would make this point that I understand, we understand this is an issue of contest, of concern to many people. I would make the point these laws, which have been supported by both sides of politics, I think originally introduced by a Liberal Environment Minister, are laws which need to be applied fairly and appropriately, and I'm sure that is the way in which Minister Plibersek will seek to approach this, and I would assume that the senator would not be advocating anything else.
Senator Dunningham, first supplementary.
Oh, thank you, President. I refer to the fact that the complaints that precipitated this review about salmon farming on Macquarie Harbour were lodged by the left-wing think tank, the Australia Institute, the Bob Brown Foundation, and then, of course, the Labor Party's taxpayer-funded Environmental Defenders Office. Does the minister now agree that the EDO, that funding the ETO to engage in lawfare that destroys jobs is a mistake and that funding should be stopped? Or will the minister continue to bow to the pressure of green groups and sacrifice Tasmanian jobs
Senator
as a result?
Dunia? Order. Order across the chamber. Order. Minister Wong.
Well, I think that I think this is largely a question I was asked Monday, Tuesday. Oh, sorry. Well, I did actually answer it. I answered it at some length, talking about the importance of democracy. And I can just infer from the fact that Senator Dunningham has asked it again that he didn't quite get enough Tasmanian press from my first answer, so he wants to have another go. Which, you know, good luck to him. That's what he does. But that is. The reality is, I refer to my previous answer on this. I would also say to you, we do support the aquaculture industry, including the salmon industry. I think it is unremarkable to say that all industries need to continue to demonstrate that they operate in a sustainable and responsible manner. And I know that not only Ms. Plibersek, but members of the Tasmanian delegation from the to the Federal Parliament, as well as Minister Watt, have taken a very keen interest in
this. Thank you, Senator Wong. The time for answering has expired. Senator Dunningham, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Given there's been no guarantee for the jobs, what does the minister say to the 400 Tasmanian men and women whose jobs are now not safe over Christmas because of this Labor government's decision to attack the sustainable salmon industry to appease the Greens? And if we need clarity, I'd be happy to table the minister's letter from the 6th of November.
Order. Order. Before I call the minister, I am asking for silence across the chamber. Senator Brown. Senator Brown and Senator Polly. Order. Senator Brown. Senator Polly. And Senator Scar. I have constantly called this chamber to order, and when I call it to order, I expect senators to be silent. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. I'll make a few points. The first point I would make is that I think an attempt to scare families in Tasmania about Christmas when...
Well, order! Hang on. Senator Dunningham,
actually,
you've asked your
Senator
question.
Dunningham, I have read you the part of the minister's press release which says that industry did not need to pause. Which part of that do you not understand?
Minister Wong, please.
Which part of that do you not
Senator
understand?
Senator Wong, please resume your seat. Senator Dunningham.
Point of order. There's some,
just a moment,
for
Senator Dunningham, resume your seat. Order. Order. Particularly on my right. Senator Dunningham. Point of order?
Well, I'd be happy to table the letter that says there
that
will be a pause.
That is not a point of order, Senator Dunningham. Minister Wong, please continue.
That's the first point I'd... come on, you guys.
Order! Senator Polly, I've called you at least five times. And apologies if it wasn't you, Senator McGrath, but I think it was. Yes, well, I've called you on many occasions as well. The minister has the right to be heard in silence.
That's the first point. So, you know, I don't think running around trying to scare people about their Christmases is the right thing to do. The second thing I would say is that I know that Senator Urquhart and Minister Watt went to Strawn and met with
just last week
Tasmanian with members of the community, local salmon industry. And I would say to you, Senator Dunham, I guarantee people on this side have met a lot more workers in the industry than you.
Thank you, Minister Wong. Senator Waters. Order. 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 We have moved on. Senator Dunham. Senator Dunham, we have moved on. I had called Senator Waters. I expect there to be respect and silence for her question. Senator Waters.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Leader of the Government, representing the Minister for Climate Change and Energy. Today, the Climate Change Minister delivered the annual Climate Change Statement. But what was not mentioned in that speech was the uncomfortable fact that the emissions figures released today show that in the last 12 months under your government, national emissions have gone up by 3.6 million tonnes. Why are you still continuing to open up new coal and gas mines?
Senator Wong.
Thank you, President. I thank the senator for her questions and question. And what I would say to you, and I confess, with all the things we've had in the chamber and elsewhere today, I haven't read all that the minister said, but I would think this makes the very point that I have made in this chamber to you, that our targets are, whilst achievable, ambitious. Yeah. Ambitious. And this is the fundamental difference between your party and our party, is that we have for many years wanted to take action on climate change. We have fought to take action on climate change. We have brought legislation into this chamber, including for an emissions trading scheme, which was sunk by your party. We understand we have to transition one of the an economy which is very emissions intensive, to be able to be competitive in a world which is moving to net zero. And we also understand that you don't do that by engaging in stunts and slogans. You don't do that by coming into the chamber and asking questions. You don't do that by making political points. You do that by doing what Minister Bowen is doing, which is to put in place the policy mechanisms to drive that change. Now, we accept this is ambitious. This is ambitious. It is. But instead of coming in here and telling us, you know, we should be doing more, perhaps you could focus on what could be done to transition this economy whilst ensuring we maintain a strong economy. Because the answer cannot be that we don't transition to an economy that is equally prosperous and is equally resilient. We have to continue to make sure we have a prosperous and resilient economy as we make this transition. And herein lies the difference between
Thank
the Greens
Minister
and the
Watt.
Labor Party.
Senator Waters, first supplementary.
Thanks very much, President. Minister Bowen rightly told the House that the climate crisis is a national security crisis. This means that every new coal and gas mine the government approves makes Australia less safe. Why is the government determined to expand Australia's coal and gas industry?
Minister Wong.
It is the case, and I was pleased to see...
Order. Order. Order on my left. The question was to Senator Wong. Minister, please continue.
Thank you, President. Well, Senator, again, I go back to what I said at the beginning. We recognise this is a transition that is going to take time, and we don't believe that the way in which we either meet our own domestic emissions nor contribute to global emissions reducing over the trajectory that has to occur by simply shutting down parts of our economy. We don't believe that. Now, what we do have to do is transition in the way we are doing, and we have put in place the safeguards mechanism. We have a capacity investment scheme, which the minister announced last week, which are all about making sure we make that transition. And I have said many times in this place precisely that climate change is a national security issue. It is an economic issue as well as an environmental issue.
Senator Waters, second supplementary.
Thanks, President. The minister's speech ruled out the Climate Change Authority's recommendation to look at phasing out new and existing gas connections in homes. Why is the government propping up the gas industry by opening new gas fields and trapping customers in this expensive, polluting energy source during a cost of living and climate crisis?
Thank you, Senator Waters. Minister Wong.
Well, the senator would well know at first that domestic household gas consumption is an important part of people's everyday energy consumption, and it will remain so for some time. You would also know that the transition to renewables will take time and will take policy. I do regret that we are having this debate in 2023. I stood here in 2009, and I would have liked—not at this place, I think it was over here—I would have liked the mechanism that we put in place then to have been in place. What we did pass was the renewable energy target legislation. Expansion of that target was legislation I introduced, and that has been successful. And it shows what you can do when you have a regulatory system which actually drives investment in renewables and in the transition which is required.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Dodson.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister, representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Why is the Albanese government committed to continuing on the path of reconciliation?
Minister Wong.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Dodson, for this question on what is your last day in the Senate. And it is a question that goes to Senator Dodson's life's work. And for many Australians, Senator Dodson is the father of reconciliation. And I know that the disappointment he felt that we share about the referendum was profound. And I ask all of us to reflect on his words yesterday about the result. He said the 60-40 spread of that vote makes it an Australian problem. It is not an Aboriginal problem. We need to seriously think now of the way in which our civil society knits together with this diversity and difference. Knits together. So this cannot be the end, and I say to senators, this is not something we need to think about only from the point of view of closing the gap, as important as it is. We need to think this is something we need to think about in terms of healing our nation. This is about the country we choose to be. Will we allow history to entrench difference and disadvantage, or will we decide to build a future that unites, which is what Senator Dodson has been seeking all his life? I know we are all saddened that Senator Dodson leaves this place when there is still so much to be done. But I would say to all of us, it is our job to continue his legacy and to continue the task he set out in his first speech. If we work to find what we have in common rather than what divides us, I believe we can be a better people. We can build a better Australia. We can build a better place for the next generation together.
Thank you, Senator Wong. Senator Dodson, first supplementary.
Thank you, President. Does the minister believe that in order to achieve justice for First Peoples, we need to work constructively and bring Australians together?
Thank you, Senator Dodson. Minister Wong.
Yes, I do, Senator Dodson, and I know you do too. And in fact, you have been a leader in that for all your life. That is your legacy. And we know it is always easy to use difference to divide. It is always easy to use prejudice to divide. It's always easy to score political points, but none of that builds a path to a better and more just future for all of us. If I may remind the Chamber of what Senator Dodson said in a State of Reconciliation report, State of Reconciliation in Australia report previously. He said this: reconciliation must transcend Australian political theatre and promote a sense of national unity. The soul of our nation cannot be a target for political slings and arrows, and on his last day here, I urge all of us to reflect on what Senator Dodson has taught us. We are all better off when we are reconciled, and justice is only achieved when shared by all.
Thank you, Minister Wong. Senator Dodson, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Minister, why does the way we talk to each other matter for the kind of country we live in and the country our children inherit?
Minister Wong.
Each of us has a role in making Australia a better place, and our words and our deeds shape the lives of all Australians. We know in the wake of the referendum many are hurting. We know Jewish communities, Palestinian communities and many more Australians are so distressed by the conflict in the Middle East. We must maintain respect for each other and for each other's humanity. There is no place for prejudice in this country. And when we speak, let us strive to speak with understanding for difference, and let us strive to speak with mutual respect. Let us strive to always remember our diversity is one of our greatest strengths. At a time of heightened tension, at a time of distress when people are hurting, we all have a responsibility to bring people together. Senator Dodson, no one has done more to bring Australians together than you. And on behalf of the Labor Party here in the Senate, and I'm sure I speak for many others, I thank you for all you have done for our country.
Yeah. Senator Tyrrell.
President, my question is for the Minister representing the Minister for Infrastructure, Senator Watt. The 2017 Launceston City deal identified 33 projects to increase job growth and support an increase in population, all while creating a vibrant, livable city. Five more projects were later added. The city deal has delivered a number of projects that bring new life into my home city of Lonnie, including the UTAS relocation and transformation project, the Albert Hall revamp and the Tamar Estuary improvements. In 2019, the Launceston City deal was extended to be a 10-year plan ending in 2027. Minister King has committed to finishing off the existing programs. Minister, of the 38 projects promised to the people of Launceston, how many have actually been delivered?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Mr Watt.
Thank you, President, and thank you, Senator Tyrrell. I recognise your commitment to seeking better and more modern infrastructure for Tasmania. And when it comes to Launceston, I know that's an ambition that's shared in particular by Senator Polly, who's based in Launceston. As you would be aware, Senator Tyrrell, I'll come back to you as quickly as I can on the Launceston regional plan specifically, but you might be aware that in this year's budget, the Australian government committed around $2.1 billion towards major infrastructure projects in Tasmania over the 10 years from 2023-24 under the Infrastructure Investment Program. That Infrastructure Investment Program also provides $237.7 million over the 10 years from 2023-24 for smaller projects in Tasmania. I'm confident that at least some of them would be in Launceston, which is obviously the focus of your question. And they will be delivered through programs such as Roads to Recovery, Black Spots, Bridges, Renewal and the Heavy Vehicle Safety and Productivity Program. It was only last week, actually, Senator Tyrrell, that I was in Launceston again. It was when I was on my way to Strawn with Senator Urquhart to meet with representatives of the salmon industry and local members of the community about their concerns. That was a trip that I don't think Senator Dunningham took last week. He preferred to stay in Hobart. I'm not sure what Senator Dunningham was up to in Hobart last week, but he wasn't in Strawn talking to people from the salmon industry, and he wasn't in Launceston either. But I was reminded, of the incredible development that we've seen in Launceston over the last 10 to 20 years, where it's become a really modern, vibrant city. Yeah, a flourishing arts
scene. Thank you, Minister.
Scene.
The time for answering has expired. Senator Tyrrell, first supplementary.
I recommend the hamster wheel at the goal. You should give it a go, Senator White. It's great. The department publishes the annual progress reports, but the last annual report was released in 2021. Why hasn't the department published its 2022 and 2023 reports? Does the department have something to hide?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister White.
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. I'll have to come back to you on notice as to why those reports haven't been tabled and what the intention is around tabling them. I'm sure that it wouldn't be that there's something to hide there because, as I say, to the contrary, our government has invested very heavily in infrastructure and other services in Tasmania, including through the regional deal that you're talking about. If I might just stray slightly from the question, the other thing that we've invested significantly in Tasmania is urgent care clinics, because we know that Tasmania, like many other parts of the country, has not had adequate GP bulk billing services to cater with growing populations and ageing populations. And that's why I think we're up to 3 urgent care clinics, I think it is, in Tasmania that have been open now. And that is going a long way to deliver on those health needs of Tasmanians in addition to the infrastructure issues that you're talking about.
Thank you, Minister Watt. Senator Tyrrell, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. Without upholding the transparency measures of public reporting, which even the Morrison government managed to keep, the people of Launceston remain in the dark about the Albanese government's progress on these projects. How can the people of Launceston be confident that the Albanese government will deliver on the remaining projects, especially when we don't know how many have been delivered?
Thank you, Senator Tyrrell. Minister Watt.
Senator Tyrrell, I can certainly assure you of the Albanese government's commitment to delivering on the regional plan that you've been asking questions about. And I can tell you that there'd be no way we could get away with not delivering on that regional plan, given the calibre of Tasmanian Labor senators that we have here in these ranks, and yourself, Senator Tyrrell. So I can assure you that the Tasmanian senators are regularly up my ribs about matters involving Tasmania that sit within my portfolio, and I'm sure that they and I do want more Tasmanian Labor senators. In fact, I'd like to have 12 Tasmanian Labor senators, although, Senator Tyrrell, we might give you a Guernsey as well. But what we don't need,
order.
What we don't need order. Is any Liberal Tasmanian senators who sit back order. And deliver very little for their state, like to prance around talking about scape and the salmon industry, but never actually do anything to help. But Senator Tyrrell, very happy to work with you on these matters going forward.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Cadell.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister for Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, Senator Watt.
Senator Cadell, please resume your seat. That was incredibly disorderly, particularly on my right. Senator Cadell, I invite you to begin the question again.
Thank you, President. I do feel safe. My question is to the Minister for Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, Senator Watt. On the weekend, red imported fire ants were detected in Mulwillimbah on the north coast of New South Wales. Can the minister explain why the Albanese government delayed the $268 million commitment in the 23-27 response plan until the 22nd of October this year, when it was required far earlier?
Thank you, Senator Cadell. Minister Watt.
Thank you for the question, Senator Cadell. Thank you very, very much for the question, Senator Cadell. I have been wondering whether we'd have a single question from the National Party in question time this week. We know that Monday was an RDO for the Nats. We know Tuesday was an RDO for the Nats.
Senator
Watt, we know Wednesday
Senator
was an RDO
Watt,
for the Nats.
I am going to draw you to Senator Cadell's question.
And it's great that Thursday, the last day of the sitting week, we finally have a question from the Nats. And in particular, I'm very much welcome a question from the Nationals about fire ant funding. Because let me tell you about fire ant funding under the Albanese Labor government compared to what we saw under the government of which the National Party was a part. When we came to government, just like the biosecurity budget in general being cut savagely by the National Party when they held this portfolio, being cut by about $100 million per year, which we had to fix in this year's budget, not a coalition government, not a National Party government, but a Labor Party government delivering biosecurity, that when it comes to fire ants, what we also found was that funding for fire ant eradication under the National Party had been cut to about $16 million per year. Nowhere near enough to deliver on the real threat that we face from fire ant funding. Now, what have we done in contrast? Well, what we've done is invest an extra $268.2 million over the next 4 years to take the average of fire ant eradication funding, not from the $16 million measly amount we saw under the Nationals, but to an average of about $70 million over the next 4 years. And in fact, the reason I'm particularly grateful for you asking this question, Senator Cadell, because I wasn't able to get it up as a Dixer this week because there's been too many other things to cover, is that I was intrigued to find Mr Littleproud, the leader of the National Party, yesterday on Sky News, telling our government that we shouldn't be providing any more funding for fire ant eradication to Queensland. So you actually want to cut the funding that we've now installed and leave fire ants run rampant. What a disgraceful position
of
the National
Minister.
Party.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Cadell, first supplementary.
The National Red Imported Fire Ant Eradication Program stated that the strategic review taken at least $200 to $300 million per year will be required for ongoing eradication to achieve by 2032. However, only $94 million was spent in 2022-23. Why is this government not demonstrating leadership and committing the funding that's required to eradicate them?
Minister Watt.
Thank you again, Senator Cadell. It's not often that you get an over where you get six full tosses in a row, but here we go. I'm looking forward to the third one as well. Senator Cadell, I'm very sorry that you were given this question because I know that you do care about these matters, but your party's track record on this issue is absolutely abysmal. And as I say, I cannot believe that only yesterday your party leader, Mr Littleproud, the current shadow agriculture minister and the agriculture minister at the time who cut funding for fire ant eradication, he was on Sky News, and on this time I'll give you a direct quote. Mr Littleproud told Sky News that the Queensland government, quote, shouldn't be given any more money to deal with the spread of fire ants. Can you believe that from the National Party saying no more funding for the Queensland government for fire ants? Where do you want them? Do you want them running around not just Queensland but into New South Wales,
Order.
Into the Hunter,
Order.
Into the Victoria, into Tasmania, over they'll probably catch the ferry over if Mr Littleproud had his way, into South Australia. You want to cut
Thank
funding
you, Minister
that we've provided.
At what the time for answering has expired. Senator Cadell, second supplementary.
Yeah, and one more. With the Queensland government unable to stop the fire ants in their own state, they've now progressed 13 kilometres from the Queensland border and away from your home. Why should the Albanese government not urgently review the adequacy of the fire ant eradication funding and find ways to commit topping up the funding where it is needed?
Thank you, Senator Cadell. Minister Watt.
Let's make this a pull shot over for six. Senator Cadell, I'm sorry that you were given this question to ask. And none of your colleagues were willing to ask this question. But, Senator Cadell, you've just asked me to bring forward funding. That is exactly what we have done. Since when we were elected, we brought forward the funding that remained in the fire ant eradication program that was left behind by your government, and now we've actually added an extra $268.2 million. Now, Senator Cadell, you might be asking us to bring forward more funding. Your party leader wants to cut the funding that we're delivering to Queensland. He wants to get rid of the fire eradication program.
Order.
Has he spoken to Queensland farmers
Order.
About that? I know Senator McKenzie hasn't ever met a farmer, but I don't know about the farmers in Victoria, whether they'd support cutting the fire ant eradication program. So $268.2 million that we've dedicated for this program, you want us to cut. The National Party, we know, gave up caring about farmers a long time ago. Senator Canavan's on the record saying they're not a core constituency of the National Party, and Senator and Mr Littleproud have just proven it as well.
Thank you, Minister Watt. The time for answering has expired. When you finish, Senator McKenzie, I'll call Senator Van. Senator Van.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Senator Wong. I'm concerned about the vile rise of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia and would like to understand what the government is doing about this distressing situation. Can the Minister please inform the Senate what measures the government is currently implementing to ensure the safety and security of international delegations visiting Australia, particularly in light of the recent incident at the Crown Plaza, Melbourne, involving a delegation of families of hostage victims in the Hamas-Israeli conflict?
Thank you, Senator Van. Minister Wong.
Thank you to Senator Van for the question. Thank you, President. And if I may pick up your question at the last part, which is, I want to make some comments, in fact, about that issue, because my first response to those who engage in those protests is have some decency. Have some decency. And I had the privilege, as did many people, of meeting with the loved ones of those killed or taken hostage. And I know that our members of Parliament met them, and the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister and I met with the delegation. And you know, they're dealing with a horrific situation. They have people who have lost children, siblings who are, whose brother was taken hostage, and it is, I think, for protesters to go out of their way to their hotel to engage in what was, I think, intimidating behaviour, I think is really beyond contempt. And what I'd say to people in this country is we all have our beliefs, and some people in this country have very different beliefs on this issue. But as I've said many times in this place, the strength of your conviction about your view should not override your fundamental decency and recognising the humanity of the other. And I think it is disturbing, distressing, and it does nothing to advance the cause for peace, peace in the region. We will always denounce anti-Semitism and reject it utterly, and we all should. We
should denounce all forms of prejudice. Senator Wong, the time for answering has expired. Senator Vann, first supplementary.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister. In the context of that recent confrontation, some have called it victim-blaming, involving this Israeli delegation, the pro-Palestinian protesters, how does the government propose to balance the right to free speech and peaceful protests with the imperative to maintain public order and protect international visitors? And additionally, what specific guidelines or protocols are in place to manage situations where rights to protest and the safety of individuals may come into conflict?
Thank you, Senator Vann. Minister Wong.
I think in your question, Senator Vann, you actually go to the very issue, which is all of our rights are not absolute, or very few. and the right to freedom of speech needs to be balanced by the right for people to feel safe and to be safe. That's the balance we seek to have, for example, in the Racial Discrimination Act with Section 18C. That's the balance we should exercise and observe as leaders in this place. People have a right to peaceful protest in this country, but that should not extend to violence or intimidation. And again, I go back to this point. No matter how fervently any one of us believes that we are right, that does not give us the right to disregard the experience of others or to behave in a way that is not decent. We in all sides of the
debate. Thank you, Minister.
Should,
the time for answering
that.
Has expired. Senator Vann, second supplementary.
Thank you, President. In light of the recent events where teachers in Victorian schools have been reported to engage in pro-Palestinian actions, what measures is the government taking to ensure that political activism does not infringe upon the neutrality expected in educational settings? And how does the government plan to address this issue while respecting freedom of expression?
Thank you, Senator Vann. Minister Wong.
Well, 2 points. I think Senator Watt was asked that question this week, and he referred to Minister Clare's public statement that he believed children should be at school. But again, I think your question goes to the heart of how we, as a multicultural society with a range of different views, a different range of different experiences, manage our differences. I am someone who believes, and I think I would hope most people in this chamber, that our multiculturalism and our diversity is such a great strength of this country. It's one of the things that makes me most proud. And Victoria, is, I think, the most multicultural state. Now, I've said that. You watch, I'm going to get a lot of criticism from New South Wales. But anyway, I think statistically that is the case. But the point, oh, here we go, Queensland is. OK, that's what Senator Rennick says. We also have to make sure we manage our differences respectfully. And this has been hard to do because people are distressed, but we would continue
to urge
people to do so.
Thank you, Senator Wong. The time for answering has expired. Senator Stewart.
Thank you, President. My question is to the Minister for Trade and Tourism, Senator Farrell. Australia's tourism industry makes an extremely valuable contribution to jobs across Australia and to our national economy. However, in recent years, the industry has faced challenges presented by the pandemic. Can the Minister update the Senate on the latest outlook for the recovery and future growth of this vital sector?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and can I thank Senator Stewart for her question, and I know she has a great interest in the tourism sector as it affects the great state of Victoria. On Tuesday, Australia's latest tourism forecast for 2023-2028 were released, showing a stronger outlook for international arrivals growth than previous predictions. The forecast tells us that international tourists spend in Australia will exceed pre-pandemic levels in 2024. International arrivals in Australia will exceed pre-pandemic levels in 2025, and domestic tourism spend, which already exceeds its pre-pandemic level, will continue to rise, and in Senator Stewart's home state, domestic visitor nights are due to increase by 8% this year. This is thanks to the reopening of China to outbound travel and a more positive look for the return of Chinese visitation to Australia. Sustained high growth in international arrivals to Australia throughout 2023 to date, and continued reopening of flight routes and commencement of new flight routes connecting Australia to the broader markets. Of course, President, we know that tourism businesses still face challenges. Unlike those opposite, who withdrew critical support nearly a year before Australia's international borders reopened, this government is committed to continuing our work with industry to help it rebuild and grow. We're delivering a package of support designed in consultation with industry to address the challenges industry identified as barriers to its recovery. And as the tourism forecasts show, the outlook for the future of Australian tourism industry is a positive one.
Thank you, Minister Farrell. Senator Stewart.
Thank you, Minister, and thank you for those great statistics, especially for Victoria. Minister, what actions is the Albanese government taking to support the Australian tourism industry to bounce back from the impacts of the global COVID-19 pandemic and help it grow into the future?
Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and thank Stewart, Senator Stewart, for her first supplementary question. The Albanese Labor government is supporting Australia's tourism industry in many, many ways. Our Come and Say G'day campaign has been viewed by 1.15 billion times. We've delivered a $48 million package for the industry, including grants to help tourism exporters reconnect with key markets. Funding for activities that encourage people to choose tourism as a career. And, of course, helping caravan park operators like Paul and Teresa Boswell in Palm Cove, who are installing an accessible swimming pool thanks to a $100,000 grant under our $10 million caravan park program.
Thank you, Minister. The time for answering has expired. Senator Stewart, second supplementary.
Thank you. Minister, how is the Albanese government working with Australia's tourism industry to help businesses future-proof themselves and adapt to changing consumer expectations, including through helping them offer more sustainable and attractive experiences to both domestic and international visitors?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. Minister Farrell.
Thank you, President, and can I thank Senator Stewart for her second supplementary question. We know through consumer demand research that more travellers are considering sustainability when planning their holidays. The Albanese Labor government wants Australian tourism businesses to benefit from this burgeoning market. That's why last week I joined my state and territory colleagues to launch the Sustainable Tourism Toolkit. The toolkit provides clear, practical advice for businesses on how they can operate more sustainably, allowing them to attract this growing market while cutting their own costs on things like energy and water. Well, we're doing it. We're doing it, Senator Scar. Yep, Senator Scar. A sustainable, thriving tourism industry means jobs, growth and infrastructure that benefits our communities and our economy.
Thank you very much. And my question is to the Minister representing the Prime Minister, Senator Wong. Minister, why did the Minister for Home Affairs fail to prepare for an expected High Court loss and then falsely claim she was advised the government would win?
Minister Wong.
I don't accept the propositions in the question. I know, Senator Cash, that you would like me to agree with every proposition you put to me, but I found over the time you've been here that that is not actually a very sensible practice.
Order.
But I want what I will say. Oh, that's, she puts things to me. She's allowed to. I'm allowed to say no. That's how it goes. That's what we do. What I would say to the senator is that we know that we have been confronted with not one but two, actually, High Court decisions which have struck down laws that either were put in place by you,
Senator Braxton,
put in place by you.
Order on my left.
It is order. It is good, isn't it? So they can see that they put these laws in place, the ones that have been struck down.
Please resume your seat. Order on my left. Senator Cash, I'm calling you to order and I'm calling those on my left to their order. The question's been asked. The minister is answering it. Senator Ruston, order. Order. Senator O'Sullivan, you're not in a debate with me. I am simply asking you to be respectful and stop interjecting. Minister Wong.
I know that those opposite don't like to be reminded that the laws that were struck down were laws that Mr Dutton had put in place or that had been or schemes that he'd put in place, but that is the case. And the point I'd make is that you don't make Australians safer by shouting, you make Australia or by putting in place laws which the High Court strikes down.
Order.
But that seems to be Mr Dutton's approach. That seems to be Mr Dutton's approach.
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. Once again, order on my left. Senator Ayres. Minister Wong, please continue.
Thank you. The government has at all times made community safety our first priority. You know what those opposite have made the first priority? Their political interests. You can always count on the coalition. You can always count on the Liberal Party to put their own political interests first. You can always count on Mr Dutton to put his own political interests first. And of course, and please do ask
Senator
me another
McGrath.
Question, because I want to get to the fact that you voted
Senator
with the
Cash,
Greens against strengthening the laws.
Thank you, Minister. Senator Cash, first supplementary.
Thank you. And Minister, the Minister for Home Affairs claimed urgent laws to address this crisis weren't necessary until the Coalition wrote them for her. Despite your government's desperate and pathetic attempts to blame the opposition, isn't it true that this detention crisis is entirely of your own making?
Order. 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 Senator Henderson, order. Order on my right. Order. Minister Wong.
Well, I would remind those opposite that the... I'll take that interjection. Yes, we complied with the High Court decision. Now, I know that those opposite... A bit of robo-debt. That's what you want to do, isn't it? You want a government that doesn't comply with the law. But what we did do, what we have done, is put in place a stronger legislative framework to ensure assure community safety. And that's a stark contrast
Senator
to
Cash.
What occurred in the House yesterday or the day before.
when Mr Dutton, despite beating his chest about how tough he is and how much he cares about community safety, voted with the Greens against legislation which were about strengthening visa conditions. So every time you talk tough on this, let everybody know Senator Cash's party voted with the Greens against stronger conditions.
Just a moment, Senator Cash. The level of shouting and disorder in this chamber from both sides, but particularly on my left, is quite disgraceful. Is quite disgraceful. There is little point in me calling order and trying to shout louder than those who are shouting. I'm asking you to be respectful. I'm asking you to listen in silence. I should not have to repeatedly call order. Minister Wong, second supplementary. Senator Cash.
The Minister for Home Affairs claimed the Coalition's preventative detention proposal was, and I quote, utterly impossible. But then she said the parliament would rise without legislating it. And now the minister can't or won't explain how one of the 141 criminals she released managed to escape to avoid the authorities. Why is a minister's job safe when the Australian public is not?
I am not going to call the minister until there is silence. Senator Brown, that applies to you. Order. Order. Minister Wong.
Thank you, President. Well, what we do know about those opposite, when it comes to national security, they look for political advantage, but they never offer solutions. And let's remember, did you know that Mr Dutton intervened as the then Minister for Immigration
Minister Wong, please resume your seat. I would expect that when I ask for silence in this chamber, that it will be respected. I should not have to sit the minister down. I should not have to repeatedly remind senators in here that shouting is completely disorderly. It is not your role to shout louder than the person responding, whether you like it or not. It is your role to sit in silence, and that is what I expect. Minister Wong.
Mr Dutton intervened as the then Minister of Immigration to allow the convicted paedophile at the centre of the High Court case, NZYQ, to apply for a new visa in 2016. Instead of seeking to remove him from Australia, he made a decision that enabled the convicted person to stay in Australia. So he is in Australia until the day the High Court made the decision because of a decision of Mr Dutton.
Please resume your seat. Order. Order. Senator Hanson-Yutt, order. Minister Wong, I have Senator Hanson-Young on her feet. Order. Senator Patterson. I'll remind you all that Senator Hanson stood halfway through those incredibly loud and rude and disrespectful interjections, particularly from those on my left. Senator Hanson-Young, I suspect I can guess what you're going to call your point of order on, but please go ahead.
Thank you, President. You've made my point of order for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Wong.
So further questions be placed on notice.
Thank you.